Bibles out, Luke chapter 2 tonight. All right. Luke chapter 2 and verse 39, and when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. And God, I pray as we search it that we would search it diligently, and God, that we would search it personally, that God, things that you have for us in this passage, no matter how we enter, Lord, you would speak to us. Lord, I pray that your word would go far, much further than what I could ever say or do. And God, I pray the power of it would, as you have promised, would cut right to our hearts tonight. Lord, wherever we're weak, we want to be stronger. Lord, whatever we can do to help one another, we want to do that. And God, I pray that you'd help us to be an encouragement one to another. Lord, we love you, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 2 and verse 39, and when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew. Who's that child? That's Christ. And waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So here we have the setting. Not much is given about the life of Christ as a young boy. Say, what is known? Well, really only what is known is this story right here. We have a lot about his birth, and then we have a lot about his ministry. We do not know a lot about in between. And I say, why is that? Because God didn't need us to know all that. But we do have this story and this information here about Christ as a 12-year-old boy, and that's what we're going to look at here tonight. Starting in verse 41, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. So, if you've ever traveled or, I was talking to, the Warners tonight, and how was your Christmas? Everyone's giving reports about Christmas. And great, what we did this year, and they confirmed, they said this was great. We're going to do whatever it is that we did this year, next year, because we enjoyed this Christmas. Great. Maybe have some traditions that you do or whatever it is. Maybe part of your tradition, Christmas tradition, is to be at Christmas Eve service. Well, written into the very fabric of who Christ and his family were the traditions of being a Jew. And part of that was the Feast of the Passover, and every year they would travel to Jerusalem. This is the 12th year for Christ that he's done that. Now, if you travel consecutively the same path or the same way every single year, you start to become familiar. You know this place. Oh, I know how long it takes. Maybe as a young person, you took trips back and forth between your house and grandparents' house. Our extended family, pretty much all of our family, all lived in Buffalo as growing up. So if we ever wanted to see family, we drove down Route 90. We knew when we got to Batavia, we were halfway there. That's what we would always say. There's this rock formation on Route 90 right over by the college, and we would go through, halfway there. We knew what that was. Why? Because we traveled it so many times. Well, Christ here is 12 years of age, and here he finds himself in Jerusalem just as he had the previous 11 years. Somewhat familiar with this. In verse 43, it tells us what they were doing there. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child, Jesus, tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Now, we're going to see a couple things here throughout this passage. Three times we are the relationship between Mary, Joseph, and Christ are defined within this passage. Here in verse 43, it says this, Joseph and his mother knew not of it. It did not say Jesus and his father, Jesus' father and his mother. No, it's distinctly established. Now, according to the passage, do we know who his mother is? Yes, it is clearly defined in the previous verses. Mary Does she have a name? Yes. Do we know the name? Yes. But here it makes it clear that Joseph is not the father of Christ. It's Joseph and his mother. Now, the circumstance is this in verse 44, but they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among the kinsfolk and acquaintance. So here they are, they're at the Feast of the Passover, and they're traveling along, walking along with their family after the Passover. They're going from Jerusalem on the way back, and about a day in, all of a sudden they realize, we're missing somebody. Now, did Jesus have brothers and sisters? Yes. Yes, he certainly did. Were they younger brothers and sisters? Yes. How do we know that? Because Jesus was Mary's very first. We know that. So he had younger brothers and sisters. Maybe they were, I don't know, maybe they were busy with those other ones. He's Jesus, right? He doesn't really do anything wrong. You don't have to worry about, where's Jesus? Oh, he's at the casino. We don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about him at the saloon. We don't have to worry about him. We don't have to worry about any of that. Jesus just did right. And there, so here he has, Jesus had a group of friends. Could you imagine 12-year-old Jesus, right? Joe, how old are you? You're 13? Are any of your two buddies 12 next to you? Victor, how old are you? 14? Chet's 14. All right. So about the age of these three guys. Chet, are you not 14? How old are you, Chet? 15. Chet. All right, very good. So about the age of Joe, could you imagine? Jesus, right? He had friends. Maybe he was walking with his friends. Maybe his parents thought he was with his friends. Whatever it was, they didn't look for him. They didn't take the time to notice that he was not even with them. Maybe this was a typical thing. Maybe a group of them came and left. We were just at the parade, the Christmas parade, right? All of a sudden, hey, where's Audrey? All of a sudden, I get a text from Chris. Do you have Audrey? No. No response, right? Where is she? Well, she was with a cousin up ahead. Well, maybe that's what they were thinking. Hey, at the next spot, at the next spot, we'll check and make sure he's there. And all of a sudden, mom's worried. So what do they do? They were a day out. Took a whole day's journey. Had to go a day all the way back. And they found them not. In verse 45. Here they're quite concerned. And when they had found him not, they turned back to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. Whew. That's a long time. No one likes to lose their keys or something that they use on a regular basis. But a child? Could you imagine your child being gone for 12 days? Or a 12-year-old child gone for 3 days? That would be awful. You'd be very anxious. You'd be nervous. That's all. You would be completely consumed with trying to find him. And that's where they were. It came to pass after 3 days they found him. Where'd they find him? In the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Verse 47, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. I think it's interesting that Christ, by his questions or his insight into the law, there he was in the temple. What are they to discuss? There's no New Testament. Here he's discussing things, comparing maybe law with law, scripture with scripture. They were astonished at his understanding and answers. All of a sudden, a crowd forms around Christ. The best thing to do, so what did they do? They lost Jesus. They lost Christ. They were a day away. So what did they do? Well, they went back to where they lost him. A lot of young people, I say young people, I refer to teens, middle, young adults, adults, wander from the things of God. I don't know why, it just happens. They choose it. The seed of the world, we've talked about it extensively recently. All of a sudden something makes sense and I don't want to do this anymore. How do I fix it? Well, the best thing to do is go back to where you lost it. Where did they go when they lost Christ? They went back to where they lost Him, to find Him again. Hey, if you're here wandering away from the things of God, why don't you come back to where you lost Him? Get back to that which is right. Go back to what He told you originally. Again, I have a lot of conversations with a lot of young people making pretty important decisions concerning their life, and they say, Pastor Russo, what do I do? What should I do with my life? Well, what was the last thing He told you to do? And have you done that? Are you successful in following Him up to that point? Here, Joseph and Mary are concerned over their loss of Christ. So they did what we all should do. Go back to where we lost Him. Verse 48, when they saw Him, they were amazed. And His mother said unto Him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, it's important to pay attention to the next phrase. Thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Is Joseph his father? Now, biologically not. But he certainly has adopted him. I mean, here Joseph is 12 years with him. Understand, we talked about this. For the first 30 years, Jesus had to deal with the ridicule of the thought that his parents were not married when he was conceived. Which is true. You do the math. Joseph has been carrying the mark of disgrace for the last 12 years. And he stuck it out. Good job, Joseph. A lot of guys, when things get difficult or things don't go according to plan and they don't like it, they just skip town and leave. But Joseph had some character here and he stuck with it. Here he is, 12 years later, still around during the hard years. And he stuck around. So, although biologically certainly is not his father, but has taken on a parental role, certainly. And here, Mary refers to him as Jesus' father. Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Certainly, we can imagine mothers losing your child for 3 days. Certainly, you'd be sorrowing. But then, I like how Jesus responds. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about, what does he say? My father's business? I think that's part of the, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. What a perfect answer. He's like, oh no, you didn't have to worry about me. I was busy about my father's business. Because what did she just say? Hey, your father and I were looking for you. He's like, I was with my father. I was in the temple. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. He corrects her. It didn't make sense then. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. So Jesus does right here. You see that? And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. He returns home and was subject unto them. So let's imagine this scenario, this situation. Here he is, he's sitting in the temple. It's not like a synagogue. The synagogues were the Jewish temples, if you will, out and about on the outskirts. Each town had one. This was not just a temple, this was the temple. The highest of laws, the most perfectly executed of Passovers. This is where it all went down. This is where it all went perfect. And Christ is sitting among, and what it describes to us, as doctors. Blowing them away with his knowledge of the law and all of those things. To the point where he is answering their questions. As of recently, I found myself in the hospital quite a few times. Thankfully, not as the patient, but as a visiting friend. Today, no different. I was at in Albion at the villages there. I've had a lot of interaction with doctors. Not one has ever asked me, "Hey, what do you think about all this? Tell me your assessment of brain injuries." I have none. Doctors don't ask me what I think. Why? Because I don't know anything about that stuff. Here the doctors were asking a 12-year-old boy what he thought about their law. And then Jesus returns back to Nazareth, making himself subject unto his Mary and Joseph. That tells us we're never too big to submit to that which God has placed over us. If Christ was perfect in all his ways, and he's that perfect example, surely we could humble ourselves. Say, "I'm 14, 15. I don't need to listen to anybody." Christ did. Christ listened to his parents. And was subject unto them. This is the one that could snap his fingers and the earth opens up and swallows people whole. This is the one that could do that and all of a sudden everything stops spinning. For Christmas, I got a cool little device that you plug into the wall. It's a smart plug. My very first one, Mr. Bauman. I didn't know what to plug into it. Say, what is a smart plug? Smart plug is a plug that you get to control with your phone or device. I could turn things on and off. Imagine being able to turn off the sun. Christ is really not subject to anybody. It's a similar situation when he appears at the Jordan River and he comes to John the Baptist and says, "I need you to baptize me." And John the Baptist is like, "Actually, I need you to baptize me." He's like, "No, I need to fulfill this." He was giving us an example. Did Christ need to be baptized? Did he really need to submit himself, make himself subject unto anybody? No, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Although his glory at this moment is somewhat veiled, it's still all God. But yet, being a perfect example to us, he made himself subject unto them. And Jesus, in verse 52, increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Christ increased with wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Four areas that we ought to increase, that we ought to grow in. Intellectually. The Bible says he increased in wisdom. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. In verse 5. We have to be careful when we read the scriptures not to make prejudices. You understand when I say prejudices? What that means is that we make judgments prematurely to prejudge, right? Prejudice. We use that. That phrase is really used a lot with people. I'm prejudiced towards something. I've made a judgment about you with never even talking or having a conversation. That's not wise. But also concerning the scriptures, we need to make sure that we are not any prejudices towards it. But sometimes it's tough to unthink how we think. A very simple and common verse that we would read in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5, Proverbs chapter 1, I would dare say the most read proverb, outside of maybe Proverbs 31. Proverbs 1 and verse 5, it says, "A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." And we sometimes as adults we read this and I want to run to my children and say, "See, look, that's what it says." But that's not what it says. It says a wise man will hear. And I immediately, in my prejudice, I say, my children need to hear this. These kids need to hear this. But it says a wise man will hear and will increase learning. We need to be very careful that we never get to the place where we fail to increase in wisdom. God's wisdom. The Bible says you'd be wise if you would learn some things about the Scriptures. I'm 40. I've read it through 10, 12, a dozen times. I know all the stories. I'm familiar with all the familiar ones. I teach it on a regular basis. I think I'm all set intellectually. You understand that the book that lays in your lap is inexhaustible. And that if Christ increased in wisdom, surely I have not arrived yet. Psalm chapter 1, right? Blessed is the man, and we read all of those things, and how important it is to surround ourselves intellectually with the right influences. We had Nico and Chima here on Sunday morning. Remember them? Nico's like 6'10", and Chima's just a sweet lady. Both like 19 years old. Kind of a really incredible story. Just neat how the Lord works and brings people together. Divine appointments. I was talking to her, and she's a psychology student. So we were talking a little bit, and I said, I was asking her, does your education support the Bible? No. We have to be careful with what influences are being placed upon us to gain our wisdom. What do you think Christ read? What do you think Christ thought about? Hey, what is it that is influencing your intellect? A wise man. What does it say? A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Please be careful with where you go for your wisdom. Not only did he increase in wisdom, he also increased in stature. At that age, around 11, 12, 13, it's kind of interesting. All of a sudden, our young boys are turning into young men. It was funny hanging up at our house. If you've been to our house, we have some big pictures, 16 by 20 pictures of our kids, our family. And one picture is a group of them, and we have Sam there, and it was separated, this picture from this picture, by about 6 months, and it looks like a totally different person. What happened? He increased in stature. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8 tells us what? Bodily exercise profiteth, what's it say? What's the next word? Little. But a little is something. Of course, godliness is far better than anything else. But there is a profit to it. There's a benefit to it. Sure, everything in moderation. We can go crazy. We see people like that, or walk around and, you know, they're just, you know, eating spoonfuls of protein. You know, it's like, I don't know about all that, but certainly Christ increased in wisdom and in stature. Eating and exercising is good. Here we are and coming up on the first of the year. The gyms are going to be packed in a few weeks. MyFitnessPal is going to be revisited again, and all of a sudden I'm going to try and find my scale and go through all of that, and I'm going to hurt myself and not eat right or eat better and not eat junk food and try and eat green things and, you know, all that for a couple weeks, and then we'll go back to normal. But we increase in stature. It's right to do that. It would be strange if a young person at 10 or 12 all of a sudden stopped growing. We would be concerned, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we be concerned if we stop increasing in wisdom? We need to grow intellectually. We need to grow physically. And then it says this, and in favor with God, we need to grow spiritually. The phrase Favor with God only appears one other time in your Bible. For one other person. It was a woman. And she found favor with God. Mary. It's just a chapter back in chapter 1. If you look there in chapter 1 and verse 30. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found" what? "Favor with God." What does that mean, favor with God? That she was obedient to God. Does God desire that from us? He does. Psalm chapter 5. Look at Psalm chapter 5. We're almost done. I know the clock is running late. Psalm chapter 5 and verse 12. It says this, "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." God gives favor unto those that do right. So you can't guarantee that. It's not my guarantee to give. It's God's guarantee. I don't know what way. I don't know how it all happens. I mean, I certainly see direct blessings in following the Lord. I've experienced it in my life personally. But I can't say, hey, when I, as I follow the Lord in obedience and He blessed me and I feel like I have favor with God in the eyes of God, exactly this is how He's done it. I'm not saying, Brother Rice, this is exactly how He's going to do it with you, but He certainly blesses righteousness. And He says, "I will give favor unto those." When we go, a lot of my illustrations relate to food because I love it. And so when I go to like the drink, I ever go to Wegmans and they have like 600 different kinds of drinks. I have a favorite. I go over and I take the one I like off of it. Nothing against the other drinks. It's just what I like to drink. It's almost like the Lord does that. Same word. Favorite. Favor. But it's not like, okay, just you. Or it's all those that choose to live righteously and do godliness. Why does it always feel like God's got me down or all these things? Are we walking in righteousness? Please understand also that how God uses us and is not up for us to decide even. God has a plan and a perfect plan. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor. First, intellectually. Second, physically. Third, spiritually. And then lastly, not only in favor with God, but also in favor with man. Look at Acts chapter 2 and we'll be done. That's socially. People are a worthwhile investment, is what I'm here to say. Relationships are worthwhile investing in. My dad's lost, but he told me this years ago. He said, "Nick, if you can figure out how to work with people, you'll be successful in whatever you do." It's true. Because there's people everywhere. And if we can increase with favor of man socially, that's important. Christ did. Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. "And they continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people." Hey, if you love the Lord, you don't have to be a jerk. You can be kind. It actually works out better. Here was a group of people and they went house to house having meat and gladness and singleness of heart and having favor with the people. The people actually liked them. You can love Jesus and be liked by people. Now I understand the verses. All those that follow after righteousness, they might suffer some persecution. It's going to happen. The world doesn't like it all. But certainly there's some favor among people. A Christian ought to have the highest character. Why? Because they don't just serve for their own personal benefit. They do things because they serve the Lord Himself. They're not answering to man. They answer to God. And that's the highest of standards. How many of you have a boss that has pretty low standards? Sure. Hope none of our staff rolls in here. Socially. What are you doing, dude? Do you have friends? No. No one. There's no one good to get along with. I think I found your problem. Be friendly. I think that's a verse. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. Christ increased intellectually, physically, spiritually, and also socially. There's four areas that we can increase. Here we are at the end of the year. Maybe you look back on your year and go, whew, glad to be turning the page on 2018. So what's the plan for 2019? How about to grow intellectually? Maybe to take a little better care of yourself. Read a funny joke that said, my plan to lose 10 pounds in 2018, only 15 more to go. I feel like that's where I'm at. But maybe this is the year, yeah? Bring out those old, this is how old you are if you're doing this, your old tennis shoes. Find a pair of sweatpants. Hit the pavement. Maybe you say no to that third piece of pie. Or maybe you just run an extra mile. But physically, hey, this year I'm going to do better. Spiritually, how's your obedience to God? Are you growing? And Jesus increased. Are you increasing in your favor with God? Are you closer to Him than you were before? In favor with man. How are you dealing socially? Christ, our perfect example, was able to balance those four things. Not neglecting one, but perfectly handling each one. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray as we looked at Luke chapter 2 tonight and closed out your younger years, Lord, I pray that personally you spoke to our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would be obedient to you and that we too would increase in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Lord, we love you tonight. We are thankful for your patience with us. Lord, I pray that we also would have patience with others. Lord, help us to do better. Again, we love you, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good night. I think this is the XL edition. I think the person, you could wrap this around a 400-pound person. Yeah, this is a new one. That's nice. I know, he just asked me, what do you think? Increased? I don't know. What? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, whatever you want to put down. Thank you.
Yeah. I said, all right, yeah.